Hi, Rapids fans. It is the evening of Wednesday, May 1st, 2019. You are listening to Holding the High Line with Rabbi in Red. My name is Matt Pollard. No intro, no outro, no banter tonight. We've got a special emergency pod for you. We recorded on Monday of this week, and sometimes that happens in sports podcasts when you do something, when you do a show that is generally weekly. Times something happens in between then that renders stuff obsolete. Anthony Hudson is no longer the manager of the Colorado Rapids. It was announced today that he was relieved of his duties. Sacked for all intents and purposes. My good friend Rabbi Mark Goodman will skip the banter. So instead of asking you how you are doing, my friend, I will ask where the heck you want to start on, you know, the series finale of hashtag Hudson Out.
Matt, you took so long in introducing the fact that Hudson got sacked today that basically was your self banter with yourself, which you did with yourself. On some, I'm both ways. I'm bipolar in this issue in the sense that I am always lamenting the fact that a dude lost his job today. And we are at a phase as fans and friends and journalists of the Colorado Rapids, who feel really crappy about the team and where they're at. But on the other hand, there is much rejoicing in Rapids land because, you know, Hudson was a failure and a disaster and a train wreck. And I've been, you know, I try to reserve judgment. I really don't like to throw people under the bus. You know, I want to be a semi-neutral observer. I'm a fan, so I have feelings, but, and I definitely had thoughts that, like, tactically, this isn't how I would have set up the team. Personnel wise, these are a lot of the choices that the team is making are not choices that I would make. So there is much rejoicing in Rapids land because I don't think Anthony Hudson was a very good coach. I don't think he's good with personnel. I don't think he's very good in the locker room. I don't think he had the coaching background that indicated that he was the right person for the job. So the fact that he got sacked is like, good. That's a good move for the team. It shows that the team is ready to move forward. Matt, your thoughts and responses?
I would say as we got on later in the week, I was increasingly less and less surprised if they were going to make a move. The more I looked back at it and listened to the video of his post-game comments in the Atlanta game and then thought about them myself, read what other people had as a reaction, both fans, pundits, people who wrote or, you know, podcasted about the content. You know, it felt a little bit like a eulogy, you know, in the presser today at Dick's Sporting Goods Park with Connor Casey being available and then general manager Porrick Smith, who my understanding is he made this decision with the support of ownership. I get the sense that Hudson already knew that he was coming. I don't think that his comments in Atlanta or as incendiary as some of them were, as brutally honest as they were, as hyperbolic as other aspects of, you know, him parking the bus and then throwing all of said players under the bus after the game. You know, I don't think that triggered anything with Smith or anybody else in the club. I think it was possible that those statements were the final straw, or that made it such that, you know, like, how do you say that you're dealing with a bottom group of players and then go into training on Tuesday and feel remotely good about yourself trying to get a result against Vancouver? Like, if you're Jack Price or Keegan Rosenberry or anybody, you know, like you walk into that locker room and your boss just told you were trash, and you're in the middle of a 5-game losing streak, and you've got to go and try and get a result against maybe the one team in all of MLS that you absolutely should be able to get a result on. Like, how do you even remotely have a functional conversation in that situation, Mark? You know, I don't know how you go about doing that. So I don't know that those comments were the final straw, but I think now, the more I think about it, I think those comments were effectively Hudson updating his resume and trying to create a narrative for next future job openings.
In my column this week, that I also talked about the same idea that you just dropped, Matt, which is that this was updating the resume. This was – my sense is that he may have very well been told by Porrick Smith, listen, the results haven't been there. The team has been terrible. You know, you need to turn it around this weekend in Atlanta. It's very likely that the team will not continue with your employment. So when he got – when he lost the game in Atlanta, first of all, it meant that he went into Atlanta and drastically changed the tactics that he'd been using. Instead of saying, oh, we're going to be playing attacking football, we're going to be creative, I have time for the team to develop and try and learn the system that I'm trying to make, and improve week to week and become more attacking. It was like, it doesn't matter. I just need to get a result. We're parking.
Let me get nil nil and then save my job till we get Vancouver and then try and get a win there.
Right. And so that when he didn't get the result, he walked into the hallway with Jordan Angeli, and basically Jordan threw out some softball questions, and he's like, all right, I'm getting fired in the morning. Let me get this stuff off my chest. And that's what that whole thing was. And so it's interesting because I was listening to another podcast, and they were making the argument that, you know, it's entirely possible that he really was trying to send a message, you know, shot across the bow to his players to, you know, shape up or ship out. But it probably isn't going to be interpreted well in the locker room. The reality is he was sending a shot across the bow to his players. And the shot across the bow was, you guys left me to hang and now I don't have a job anymore.
I want to throw out some stats, just for the sake of completeness. Anthony Hudson was the head coach of the Colorado Rapids for 43 MLS regular season games. He had a record of 8 wins, 26 losses, and 9 draws. He had a goal differential of minus 39, which is like just staggering for me, Mark. And then overall, that's a win percentage, folks, of 17%. In terms of those numbers for a permanent head coach, so non-interims, not like Connor Casey in this situation or Steve Cook in the case of the last, you know, 5, maybe 8 games in 2017, statistically one of the worst coaches in MLS, and certainly one of the worst in the, you know, post-DP, you know, draws exist eras of MLS. You know, this was a catastrophic failure. The Hudson era failed spectacularly. You know, as I wrote in a little bit of a tweet thread, you know, at this point, Mark, you know, the season's on life support for me. You know, as I said in the pod that we did on Monday, I anticipated that if the Rapids lose to Vancouver, I will call for them to get the wooden spoon for 2019. And at this point, I'd say the Rapids way is, you know, in possibly a coma, in critical condition, is being prepped for surgery, and if things don't go perfectly, like, things could go really, really poorly. This situation and how things have played out reflect themselves very, very poorly on Porrick Smith. Porrick, for all intents and purposes, threw Pablo Mascherini under the bus in 2017 when he was fired, saying that it was his fault and they still had the roster to be competitive. And granted, that was with him making some decisions that I think were counterbalance to what Pablo wanted to be with the Mark Birch and the Sam Cronin trade. Now I kind of, we didn't really get an answer today, and I'm now kind of wondering, maybe that united front of Smith and Hudson always saying, we talk every day, we're on the same plan and everything, you know, are they pivoting to save their own skin, to where Pork's just saying, the players and the group that we have, they're all good, they're not, you know, a 0-7-2 team, you know, this is all on Coach Hudson. Hudson clearly throwing shade in Atlanta towards the front office, and I wonder how much of that is spin on that front. And I question where the Rapids go at this point. You know, how much can they really do between now and the end of the Tuesday transfer window? And you know, let's be real, as much as we want to talk about the Rapids having, you know, I would say a mid-table offense overall and an offense that is capable of being the top half of the table, you know, when they were kicking in the game in Orlando, that looked like, you know, an offense that could compete with the LAs and Seattles of the Western Conference. But this is a really, really bad defense. And realistically, in terms of this season, trying to salvage anything or be remotely competitive, like, I'm not wishing anything ill on him, but he's 34 years old. Like, this team is one Kai Kamara hamstring away from being, you know, like, as poor and as out of it in every single game as they were during the 7-game losing streak last year. So he's got some very, very critical decisions to make over the course of the next couple of months. And, you know, I at some point I'm going to write a big history thesis of outgoing front offices and head coaches in MLS with the Colorado Rapids completely screwing over their successors and putting it to the point where they need to take just 2 years to get out from under of all of the bad moves from the people before them just to be competent. And then at that point, they've made their own mistakes that have created the snowball that, you know, ultimately crushes, you know, Sisyphus that is C-38. This should be Smith's last coaching hire. If he doesn't get it right, it sets this club back another 2 to 3 years on top of them already being apparently still in the middle of a rebuild. And So I'm not really sure where the club goes from here, because presumably there's some level of severance or, you know, limited funds now for that next coaching hire, as, you know, Anthony Hudson's contract was due out at the end of 2020. One would hope that Porix learned his lesson from the previous coaching hire in order to make the right or a better coaching hire in this decision, but we've also seen a pretty solid track record of him not being able to do that on the player side up until this year, where he just brought in a bunch of guys who had proven themselves in MLS, so they were more known quantities when playing in MLS. So, you know, the future of this club is on Porik Smith, and he's dangled the carrot of saying that, you know, there's the two DP slots that are opening up and they're going to bring in a number 9 and a number 10. And, you know, it was all about building towards 2020. Well, okay, you know, you've got, I'd say, at least 6 months. They could even make a decision in November at this point, with the Rapids not making the playoffs probably, you know, to as far as the coaching hire is concerned. But I mean, if he doesn't get it right and that coach isn't ready to roll in 2020 and doesn't have a learning curve in MLS, that's going to look really, really bad, Mark. And, you know, they absolutely need to get these two next DP roster slots right, because I don't have a lot of confidence in them being able to fix all the other problems, to where you can't just simply add two DPs who make between, you know, let's say $1.5 and $2.5 million a year and say that that is going to vault you up from being bottom of the barrel up until a mid-table team.
Yeah, I mean, I'll reiterate the point of where do we go from here. So one thing to note is that when the team was a train wreck in 2017, and they fired Pablo Mascherini mid-season, then it quickly became, all right, well, 2017 is going to be a building year for 2018. And then 2018, it was pretty clear that, like, all right, it's not going to be a great year. We're not ready to compete yet. It's going to take longer. 2018 is a building year for 2019. And then 2019, we're starting all over again with a brand new coach. And now 2019 is a building year for 2020. So you're dealing with a fan base that has been told repeatedly, just be patient, we'll get it right. Just be patient, we'll get it right. And when you fire the coach, not that I'm saying that not that the team should not have fired Anthony Hudson, it was the right move. When you fire the coach, you now have no idea what you're looking for in the next player, in the next coach, what the team's identity is going to be, whether this is a repudiation of the Rapids way, whether there's a need for Connor Casey, in order to be successful, to be more pragmatic or to be more thoughtful. We don't know anything about how Connor Casey wants to coach. His coaching influences throughout his career are fascinating. I just wanted to, and that pivots to the question of, like, what can the Rapids reasonably achieve this year? And what is Connor Casey doing? Is he like Steve Cook, who basically, unless he blew the doors off the thing, was not going to be the coach past the interim phase? Is that the situation for Connor Casey, that he's assumed to be a placeholder and they're really going to look for someone, or does he have a shot at this job? I just wanted to quickly throw out the managers that Connor Casey has played for or has worked for as an assistant. In Dortmund, he was with Matthias Sammer. And then when he was sent to Hannover 96, and then also to a couple other Bundesliga clubs on loan, Stanislav Levy, Martin Ragnick, Lorenz Günther Kostner, Jurgen Klopp, yes, that Jurgen Klopp, Mo Johnson, and then back to the United States, where he was with the Rapids with, well, first Mo Johnson was Toronto, Gary Smith, Oscar Pereja with the Rapids, John Hackworth, Jim Curtin with Philadelphia Union, Pablo Mascherini, Steve Cook, and Anthony Hudson. So what did he glean from those coaches? How does he want to play? Does he want heavy metal football with Jurgen Klopp and high pressing and counter pressing? Is he going to be more pragmatic and defensive like Gary Smith and Pablo Mascherini? Is he going to be flexible like Jim Curtin? Is he going to be physical and fast like John Hackworth liked to play?
Is he going to go around smashing printers like Mike Petke?
Yeah, I mean, it's very good. I mean, it's a really good question. And it's a really good question as to what can be accomplished this year and how the fan base is going to receive it. He's also a club legend, and the team has employed a lot of club legend for positive or negative. Paul Bravo, Pablo Mastroeni, and now Connor Casey. So it's an interesting question. Like, how's this going to go? Is he going to be a better man manager? Is he going to tactically have any sophistication? We really don't know.
I think anything short of Connor Casey miracling this team into the playoffs, it should render him a candidate for the next job. I do not think he should be the next permanent head coach of the Colorado Rapids. I'm curious to see how he plays. You know, I think he'll sweat, bleed, and represent the club well, and certainly, you know, have passion and respect in ways that maybe Anthony Hudson didn't at least show it. I'm not sure whether or not he did. I don't want to speak to what's in Hudson's head or in his heart regarding the club now. But I don't think he should be the future coach of the Rapids, Mark. And I think anything short of him winning the team a second MLS Cup, like, you're going to have a situation with Pablo where you're burning out another club legend. Whereas, you know, if you're really looking to the people who genuinely care about this club, like, who's going to want to come and, like, guest host in the broadcast booth at this point? Like, you're out of people. The only person who's left is Marcelo Balboa, and part of his contract right now has him there on a regular basis. So, like, he's contractually obligated to be there. So I don't think it should be Connor Casey. I think it needs to be somebody with, if not MLS head coaching experience, an understanding of MLS. So that could be somebody with experience within U.S. soccer. You know, I know we'll get to Ask HTHL, where there's a question about Josh Wolf as well. But I don't think you can't bring in somebody who I think is going to take, you know, an 18-month learning curve in order to learn the league like a Tata Martino did, like an Anthony Hudson. The club doesn't have enough other areas to make up ground for that to be the case. This is a club that needs the manager to be add 20% to the team, you know, rather than the decrease 20% of the team. You know, that's one of the mantras of, Roger Bennett on Men in Blazers. A good manager improves the club by 20%. A bad manager hurts the club by 20%. So I think it needs to be somebody like that. I'm kind of struggling for who that's going to be. Presumably now with the Rapids, you know, right now potentially on the hook for 3 coaching contracts in some capacity, and, you know, Anthony Hudson through to the end of next year, they've got less budget to work with. And so they, you know, Porrick Smith has a whole bunch of time, but he has less budget with which to hire somebody. He has to hire somebody better than Anthony Hudson, and that next manager has to look at the existing roster and either think, I know how with the existing MLS mechanisms we can go about rehauling this team given some of the issues that they have, or I look at the defense they have right now and think, I have a way to put 2 center backs on the field, possibly 3, and then be able to get results. I can look at just all of the issues going on with the midfield, with assignments and personnel and tactical shape, and I can see something in that. And then you also have to get somebody who's going to go in knowing that 1 bad season or 2 bad seasons or a bad 18 months, you know, the club's fired 2 coaches in the last 3 years who had multiple years left on their contract. You have to find somebody who's going to be okay with that existing working environment. So when you couple all of those things together, less salary in which to compensate the coach, having to deal with the current roster or a way to overhaul it, and then also somebody who's willing to accept the meat grinder that is that situation right now, I think that list and have MLS knowledge is a very, very limited roster.
Let's get to Ask HEHL, Matt.
All right, let's do it, Mark. Okay, we're going to start with Tyler Mabey. Tyler Mabey asks, when Hudson was brought on, many speculated that Smith had tied himself to Hudson as his guy. I'm using air quotes there. Many speculated if one went down, the other inevitably would be pulled down as well. Do you see Smith as tied to Hudson? What is Smith's timeline leash length right now? I'll be honest, Tyler, I thought that you were 2 peas in the pod, where if one of them was getting sacked, it was going to be the 2 together, and it was going to be somebody above their pay grade. I think if nothing else, the moves of this week are Porrick Smith trying to save face with the people he has to answer to, and then also try and provide himself a level of job security and certainly heap a lot of the fault on Anthony Hudson. I have no idea. We do not know the current status as far as number of years. on Porik Smith being the general manager, but I genuinely have to think if they're not out remotely looking like a coherent force next season, I would say by this time next year, or certainly by the middle of the summer, with the two DPs already signed and with the head coach already situated, then I think seriously you have to look at possibly Porik Smith, along with everybody that he's appointed with the club, being removed. I'll throw the next one to you, Mark, and that is coming from Austin Munez. Austin Munez asks, with Hudson out now, do you have faith in Porik Smith to pick the next manager that will lead this team forward? Mark, you've contemplated writing a who the Rapids shortlist is looking like. Do you have faith in Smith right now?
No. The it's a difficult question to figure out who 2 to 6 months from now will be available to coach the Colorado Rapids and who will want the job. As many people have observed, it's a difficult job to hire for. This is not Atlanta United. You know, you can't follow Tata Martino with Frank DeBoer, big international names. You have to follow a guy who most people haven't heard of with a guy that maybe somebody's heard of. I think the Rapids have often tried to be like other clubs by going out and getting European players and going out and scouring the European market. This year it was getting MLS veterans. I think Colorado needs to think differently because we won't be the same. We're never going to be the same as Atlanta and Seattle and LA. We need to be something else. So what I think that the Rapids need to do is look in unlikely places and be a little bit different, a little bit more careful, and thoughtful, reaching down and picking out players who are maybe a little bit more surprising, which would be really, really good. Who would be a little bit more surprising. And that means, you know, USL, it means Liga MX, it means, I don't know, there's a lot of options.
Assistant coaches in the Eredivisie, question mark?
I mean, really, anybody who's a zig when everybody else is zagging. Like, you can't attract people to Colorado in the same way. We don't have a record of winning for almost a decade now. We're not a big money team or a big market team, and we're not in a fancy, flashy place. Denver's a great place to live, but it's not New York City. So also, Porik missed on his first coach, and he's missed on a fair amount of players. So his reputation isn't stellar right now. So I don't have confidence, and I don't think anybody reasonably should. Just last thing, back to your last point. I only found out about Porik being tied to Hudson and whether Porik was going down with his ship also potentially this year. I found out recently that Porik Smith is basically in direct control of the Colorado Rapids. There is nobody at the club above him in pay grade. He's essentially directly responsible to Josh Kroenke himself. So in order for Porik Smith to get fired, Josh Kroenke has to decide that he needs to be fired. And that would require a certain degree of interest in the Colorado Rapids from Josh Kroenke that we have not really seen until now. All right. Any other questions, Matt?
Yeah, we've got a couple. I guess the only thing I'll say is Porik Smith has a lot of time with how much season is left. I think he should take that time to try and make the right hire. If he's looking internationally, that the best opportunity will be in the summer. If not, it'll probably be later in the MLS season. I think, you know, if we get to August 1st and the Rapids haven't hired somebody, or they're, you know, the Athletic isn't breaking something on urgent news, regarding the Rapids on that front, and there aren't hot rumors, then I would say more likely they're looking at somebody domestic in origin or domestic in availability. Next question comes from Jody Robbins. What is the best formation for this team now? The 5-3-2 doesn't have enough offense 4-3-3 would be miscasting Rubio as a winger. Nicholson only works out wide, right? 4-4-2. I'm assuming, Jody, you're referring to the diamond in this case. Results have not been great. 4-2-3-1, again, with the winger problem. Honestly, Jody, I would simplify things tactically because that would make things simpler for the defenders in terms of what's in front of them, and that would make things simpler for the midfielders. I'd go flat 4-4-2, and I'd Pablo Tactics, hashtag keep fighting the heck out of this. I would be a low defensive, low block team, and I would try to counter, and I'd go full route 1 to Kai Kamara. I don't think that's going to work because of how this team is built right now, but you're going with anything else that we've seen and the team's getting torn apart. Mark, your thoughts.
I would go the only solutions now have to be fairly radical, because I think you're right that, like, this defense gets torn apart, so you need a tactical solution that'll address that. My favorite option is a 4-1-4-1. Or a 4-1-3-2, which is just a tweak of the 4-4-2 diamond to some degree. You need a defensive midfielder in there. I would try Axel Schoberg as your defensive midfielder in kind of a Nemanja Matic giant roving kind of destroyer type thing, who also clears the hell out of everything. And I also would think that putting somebody else who has played some time either at center back or as midfielder, like Johan Blomberg, back there as your defensive midfielder would be a good option.
I was going to say Blomberg as well. I think I'm at this point, Mark, where you can't have Jack Bryce in the base of the diamond or in a similar role. And then we've got one last one. This is from Peter South. here's a name that Taylor Twellman floated, Josh Wolf. I'm sure you saw it, Mark, but Taylor Twellman posted the Denver Post article about Hudson getting fired, and then was talking about some of the potential in-house or in-league options that they have. You know, Todd Ramos potentially, who's with U.S. Soccer right now. And so he said, keep an eye on Josh Wolf. Josh Wolf is an assistant coach for the Columbus Crew. He was a longtime assistant of Greg Berhalter's, gallivanting around Europe. He was an assistant with him at Columbus Crew, and then he was retained when Caleb Porter took the job. My understanding is Josh Wolf was interviewed for that Columbus Crew job. Mark, yeah. You're probably the king of looking at, oh, like, future potential head coaches the Rapids could consider. Handicap Josh Wolf as a potential option for me.
I think he'll be in the top 5 or 6 names that you're going to see floated. I think Jamie Franks from DU, Denver University, is likely to be up there. He'd be in better shape had he not just had a pretty bad to mediocre season for DU. Jeremy Gunn is perennially at the top of lists. He's also a college coach in America. He's been at Stanford for a while. Most of the other college coaches in America are on the older side, and they've been with their clubs for a long time. In USL, there are a number of possible folks, like Mike Jeffries. Here in Pittsburgh, the head coach here has been extremely successful in his career. Bob Lilly was with the Riverhounds and the Rochester Rhinos, and has never in, I think it's like a 15-year coaching career with a lot of mediocre USL teams, he's never had a losing season. He's always won more games than he's lost. So I'm a big fan of him. Bobby Muss at Wake Forest is also excellent, although at this point I think it'd be a better job for him to stay at Wake than it would be to come over. Once you get into international waters, you're going, you know, very, very deep. I've always been a fan of the Rapids considering Liga MX coaches. The challenge there is I'm not up on the current available coaches. Turnover in League MX is so high. Many teams around the league will cycle through 2 coaches a season.
It's Premier League level rotating head coaches.
Yeah, and I also am not a fan of the idea personally. I think Porik might be, but I'm not a fan of the idea of looking in for play coaches who fail out of the big four leagues in Europe. Just because it takes them years to get up to speed with how MLS works, with things like the draft and the way travel works and the physicality of the league. And, you know, I mean, there's some really basic little things that I was kind of shocked that Hudson didn't get last year. Like, the Colorado Rapids would go up against an opposing team, and I would be like, I mean, this year, a great example of this was the game we played against Houston. Houston was a bunker and counter team, and it looked like that was entirely news to Anthony Hudson. You don't want coaches from Europe coming in and not knowing the tactical identity of all the teams in the league. You want them to know it, and the American coaches will be comfortable and familiar, and they'll do the hard work. So I think Josh Wolf is a really, really solid pick. And I think there's a few other options around MLS and American soccer that I'll do some more research and you know, throw up an article in a couple weeks, and we'll see where it's at.
Good stuff, Mark. I'll just throw out one name, not as high as some of the names that you listed, but I'd throw in, as far as USL guys, I'd throw in John Hackworth, who's still with Louisville City, won USL Cup last year, or I guess the USL Championship now, since it's the league is the USL Championship.
And then there
was a point where he was the longest tenured head coach of any of the professional sports teams in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which, given how that sports town operates, you know, in the post-Gritty era, you know, is something to behold. I don't know that he should be the primary candidate. He might be washed up from an MLS standpoint, but, you know, if you're looking at other USL options, he's up there. Okay, Mark, we'll throw it out with predictions. Now that Anthony Hudson has been fired, are we looking at the new coach bump? Would you like to amend your prediction for the Vancouver game on Friday?
We both thought that they would win, right?
Correct, but we also gave score lines, I believe.
Yeah, I'm not going to – I barely have any faith in my own score lines. Like, I think they're just for fun. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a lot of pundits around – I broke the news that the coach was fired. And what that meant, which was really interesting, was a lot of Vancouver fans jumped on my Twitter because they immediately reflected upon what that meant for this week's game. And a lot of them were terrified because apparently the coach, the players got full of piss and vinegar games. So I don't know if that's really true or if that's just like an old wives' tale, but like it very much feels like the team is likely to have a good game and to get a win. So I won't change my prediction at all. Any thoughts?
I think we're going to see some changes at the back that is going to lead to some lack of continuity. I think that Ali Adnan is going to take advantage of that, and I think Vancouver will manage to get a goal in this one. But I mean, like Kai Kamara is going to be the angriest human being in the universe. Like give him the Infinity Gauntlet and he will do what Thanos failed at this point. So I'll take 3-1 to the Rapids.
I don't know what that means, but yes.
Okay, I'll take 3-1 to the Rapids in this one, and I'll say a brace for Kai Kamara, and I think anything less than that, and like fans, you should be mentally preparing yourself for an 0-32-2 season if that is not the case, in performance and a result. All right, you know where to get us on social media, listeners. We'll see you next week. #Hudson out. #RapidsMorgulis.